thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I am Wole. We waiting on Will T. Will T's running late, and Ray Jeezy is out. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all that good jazz. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Again, you know, it's me, Wole. First, I want to say RIP, man, Charles Rogers. He was a guy, in the 2003 draft. He was the second pick overall out of Michigan State, went to the Detroit Lions. Being a Michigan fan, Charles Rogers, to me, was like that in college. And he was a guy that never really panned out in Detroit for whatever reason. You can say demons or whatnot, and actually, I mean, maybe not having the work ethic, but more demons than anything. But if you've seen him play in college, you know that Charles Rogers had a bunch of talent. He was a guy that, you know, ran a 4.3, got open, made big plays, explosive plays in Michigan State. And I just wish, you know, his career kind of turned the way it should have been, because he was a phenomenal talent. Again, RIP Charles Rogers, passed at the age of 38. Sad. It was a sad thing, man. He was dealing with a lot, man. And it's tough. That's a tough thing. And I just, all prayers out to his family and whatnot. But he was a guy that had a boatload of potential. There's a lot going on in sports, man. Some good news for Skins fans, man. Simba will officially be the starter, man. So it's a great thing for DC fans, for the Skins. Maybe something to cheer about, Simba being a starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins. Also, you know, basketball season's here. College basketball season's here. You got the Terps. You got the Terps. The Georgetown Hoyas, both teams are 2-0. So hopefully, you know, this good momentum in the DMV in terms of sports teams will continue to flourish. But Will T would normally say this, but he's running late. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. I mentioned this is what we have on tap. I mentioned the Dwayne Haskins, Washington Redskins, naming rookie quarterback Dwayne Haskins as their starting quarterback. We'll have Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report come on the show as a guest. At 8:20, we'll talk about the growth of Washington Wizards center Thomas Bryant. Bullets Forever's deputy managing editor Kevin Broom will join the show to discuss this. He's going to be new, so he's going to be the new homie of the show. At 8:30, we'll talk DMV college basketball, which includes the Maryland Terps and the Georgetown Hoyas. Pat, you know I'm a Hoya fan. Get my Hoyas together, bruh. At 8:40, we'll debate if the Knicks should get rid of head coach David Fizdale. Finally, at 8:50, we'll make our NFL Week 11 picks. But first, right now, I have the homie Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. ACTR, bro.
You know it, man. Hail to the Redskins, man. You know, it was depressing over the last some odd weeks. But, you know, if I'm Daniel Snyder, I feel a little bit good about today because, you know, having a rookie quarterback come in for his first home game in FedEx may bring a couple people to the stadium.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, I think the fact that, you know, we're going to have Geis back up off of the short-term IR, I think that's some good news. You know, but they're saying this could, at least for the home game, they're not expecting a lot of Jets fans and, you know, a few local grown there maybe. But, you know, they're expecting not high attendance. But, you know, it's something to keep an eye on. It's something to have fans excited for, you know, his first start. I think that they'll hopefully open it up a little bit, you know, with, you know, O'Connell's latest quotes. It sounds like he's pretty much been hamstrung by Callahan. So I'm hoping to see them open up a little bit against a Jets defense that's been giving up a lot of points and a lot of yards. So it's something to look forward to, that's for sure.
Definitely. So, I mean, it was officially said yesterday that, you know, Haskins will be the starter for the remaining of the season. For you, is this the right move?
Yeah, for sure. It makes no sense to go with Keenum anymore. Or, you know, I think the writing was on the wall when Jay left. I think Callahan's been doing his little digs, you know, as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. But I think that this is a great opportunity for Haskins, not just for this game, to be named the starter for the rest of the year. I think we're going to see a little more confidence in him. Honestly, I think he might even take a little more chances. I think last week, without him being named the starter for the rest of the year, I think there was, you know, they played it safe in a lot of ways. But, you know, after watching the tape, he had some shots. He definitely was hesitant. I think we're going to see him take a little more, you know, chances this week, especially with his former team at McLaurin. I'm looking for them to open it up a little more. You know, I'd like to see them the way they had AP and Smallwood in the backfield. I'd like to see that with him and Geis. You know, that would definitely open things. That would make the defense commit more to the run. I think this could be an opportunity for them just to open it up. And, you know, I don't even want to see him, you know, I'm not even thinking about him taking, like, deep bombs downfield. Yeah. I want to see screens. I want to see more things that are going to get him comfortable in the offense, just like I wrote about in my last article, because I think that once you can get him comfortable in the quick game and the short game, then you can start to open it up a little more in play action. But I think he's going to take more chances knowing that regardless of what happened with Callahan and the coaching staff, he's going to be here next year. So I think, you know, we're going to see some more confidence in him. I think he's going to take some more shots downfield and just some more chances. So I'm excited to see it, to be honest with you. It gives some intrigue to the game against the Jets, which, you know, really doesn't have much, to be honest with you.
We have Facebook comments about Haskins being named the starter. Rodney Moss, senior coach. He's basically Coach Mapplegee's. If folks listen to the show for years, you know who Coach is. He posted, "Now I have a reason to watch football. I think he makes 9 starting black quarterbacks." I'm gonna away from the race thing. George posted, "I think Callahan had to be pushed into this, but it's not only the right decision; it was the only decision. Now I hope that KOC, Kevin O'Connell, for folks who don't know, and the staff will show some confidence in Haskins and allow him to cut it loose down the field a bit." So, what's your thoughts about that last comment?
Yeah, I definitely feel it. If you watch the press conference, I get the feeling that it might have been forced. I don't think Callahan is 100% on board with Haskins being the starter, let alone the starter for the rest of the year. But in all fairness, what do they have to lose? Keenum's not going to be here next year. Colt McCoy is not going to be here next year. Let's see what the kid has, because we need to put some film out there for the next head coach. And if KOC truly wants an opportunity, honestly, you know, if I'm him, I'm going to try to open up a little bit. He's, of course, going to be game planning with Callahan, but I'm looking for some more innovation. And I'm hoping that, you know, you're going to see, just like I said, Haskins taking some chances. KOC hopefully takes some chances. And hopefully that starts with mixing up the lineup a little bit, because I think Trey Quinn has really showed his limitations as a slot receiver.
I agree.
And I think, you know, we've been talking about Steven Sims Jr. since the beginning of the year. I had an article with him early on in the Philadelphia game. Just when he got the ball in his hands, he looks electric. Mm. Put that kid in the slot. Let's also see Cam Sims on the other side, maybe rotate in with Richardson. Mm. Let's see him mix it up. Because right now on the tape, where I think the numbers I was listening to earlier on the Kevin Sheehan show, something like 70% run on first and second down. Mm. And they have not got a first down off of anything more than 3rd and 7. Mm. That's absurd. You know, you can point to talent all you want, but even the worst teams in the NFL convert more than the average of 14 first downs a game. So I think that has a lot to do with coaching. And like you said, Haskins, he'll take chances, but at the same time, you can make him more comfortable by just not forcing him to recognize protections and slide protections. What you do with that is you just go hot read. You know, with the hot read, you know that he missed a couple on the last game. You know, when the pressure is coming from one side, as coaches, you're in that helmet telling him, you get to that, I believe it's like the last 10 seconds to tell him what to do. That's at the point where you're getting him to move the huddle faster, go a little more up-tempo, so he's not forced to be off mic in the last 10 seconds in his helmet. Then you can say, okay, we've got 15 seconds left, slide the protection here, hot read, 1-2, go left. That's what I'm looking to see. So I'm looking to see a lot more communication between him and KOC, because honestly, that's going to determine the final, you know, 8 games of the season, how that's going to go for him. But I think we could definitely see some things we haven't seen.
So again, you can tweet us at Urban Sports Scene or hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Anything you hear, you're listening to right now, feel free to comment about it. I want to go back to you talking about the slot position with Quinn, and also compare it to Sims Jr. It's funny that you mentioned that they're playing the Jets, and the guy that did very well in the slot with him in Jameson Crowder. You know, you see that he's been productive with the Jets. Do you think this team made a big mistake letting Jameson Crowder go because they thought that Trey Quinn would be that guy?
Yeah, I think that they were a little presumptuous with it, but at the same time, the money he got with the Jets, I think that would have been a bad move because I think with that and Richardson contract combined, you're talking about $20 million in those two guys. Those guys, to me, they're not worth that kind of money. So it's not about that they should have, you know, thrown all the money at him. They just, I don't know what it is with Gruden. He falls in love with players and, you know, to the point where he's blind.
Yeah.
And there should have just been an open competition. Quinn didn't even have a full game, full season last year to put together on tape. So when Sims came into camp, you know, even J.U. Chesney and the other guys, it should have been open competition in slot. And that's, to me, that's part of the reason that I think Quinn maybe, you know, didn't live up to the hype. And it's not even the hype because we're talking about a seventh round pick. Yeah. I just think you need to make these players fight, especially receivers. And we have a lot of unproven receivers that just need to fight for the position. And I think Sims showed early on that his speed can be dangerous. So there should have been a competition right away in camp. As far as Jamison Crowder, I do miss what he provided. But at the same time, let's keep in mind, let's keep it in perspective, you know, his injury issues the last two years.
Agreed.
To me, that was the deciding factor. It wasn't that we couldn't afford him. It was he has an issue staying healthy. And he's already shown that with the Jets, as many games he's missed with them. And, you know, he's done well, but he's also, his first year there, he's also shown durability issues. So I don't think it was a mistake letting him go. I just think it was a mistake naming Quinn the starter slot right away.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. I have my homie, Adam, from the Burgundy and Gold Report. So, Adam, back to the game. The Skins have, they have the Jets, and Greg Williams is the defensive coordinator. You know, he gets blitz happy. How challenging could that be for Dwayne?
It's going to be very challenging, but like I said, that's going to be, you know, Kevin O'Connell's job to call those hot reads, to call those screens, because one thing, if you look at Greg Williams' system, he can be manipulated with the screen game. I'm getting so frustrated, even when Case Keenum was in the game, not seeing them utilize the screen game. Every team in the NFL does it, and Buffalo killed us with it. You know, Buffalo, nobody is mistaken Buffalo for a high-powered offense, but they knew just from watching the tape they could screen the hell out of us. So when it comes with, you know, an over-aggressive coordinator like Greg Williams, they have talent, don't get me wrong, but, you know, they traded Williams to the Giants, so they lost a big playmaker on their defensive line. So he's smart. Kevin O'Connell is going to take advantage of that aggression and actually let him in, because there was actually a couple times when Haskins made some good decisions under pressure. So I'm not as concerned about him throwing the ball under pressure. I'm just more concerned with the play calling under pressure, but like I said, there's ways to combat that aggressiveness that Williams brings.
So do you want to see – I mean, obviously a lot of people want to see Dwayne Haskins air it out. You know, it's important because they want to see him – they want to see progression in terms of the pass game with Dwayne. But in terms of this team as an offense, do you want to see more balance or do you want to see more of a, you know, more pass-heavy offense on Sunday?
I want to see more balance, but again, every week is about matchups. The Patriots show that every week. So to say, okay, I want to see them air it out. Okay, that's fine and great, but let's see how they play us. Are they going to sit in the cover two? Are they going to, you know, load the box with eight? So I have a feeling they're going to do what Buffalo did. They're going to dare him to throw the ball. They're going to load the box, and they're going to dare, you know, especially we saw what Jamal Adams did. You know, they're going to bring him on the blitz. If he's out of that backfield, you're going to take shots downfield. If he sits back in a cover two or a single high safety, okay, that's where you need to, you know, chill out a little bit and maybe show this, you know, be patient and throw a short dump off the screen, you know, high percentage passes. But really, it's going to be all about how the Jets come at us. And just like you said, they don't have much to lose either. So I'm expecting Greg Williams to come out uber aggressive on us. So the way to combat that is play action. And the way to do play action is set him up with the run. But you can't be running on every first and second down. I'd love to see them start off the game with the play action, start off with a screen, because Callahan is just so predictable, and I'm hoping he's just going to back off KOC a bit and let him call his game, because even the national analysts, and I was saying this to you, I don't even know how long ago, I've talked to people, scouts, everyone that says, you know, nobody knew what KOC really had in his play calling bag. But they did know that he's not the dink and dunk, and he's not the 70% run. Because what's skewing it is the numbers look a little more even, because in the fourth quarter, of course, we're throwing 70% of the time because we're down.
Yeah.
But there's no balance right now. And the only way to get that balance is by taking, you know, a shot on first down instead of always committing to the run. So from what I'm hearing, AP is the starter, but you're going to see guys sprinkled in. So, like I said, I'd like to see some formations with guys and AP in the backfield at the same time because, you know, they decided to keep the fullback so far. It's going to be Wednesday tomorrow, and if he was going to be released, they would have released it. So as of it stands right now, including the fullback, they have five backs on the squad. So I'm expecting them to probably get everybody up on game day. Unfortunately, that's probably going to spell, you know, Cam Sims sitting again, which it's dumbfounded me they're not doing that because he's a 6'5 receiver. That's who you can, next to McLaurin, that's somebody you can take shots downfield with. You know, Harmon, Quinn, they're more go over the middle possession guys. So for them to be able to take some shots, they do have to still commit to the run, but mm-hmm. they have to do it at the right time. That's what it's going to come down to.
You know, we've all been kind of critical of Paul Richardson, but when you say he played okay the last, well, I mean, he had to buy last week.
Yeah, I think he's played, you know, in his system, what he's been given. I'm telling you, he's got to be one of the most frustrated receivers on the team because mm-hmm. he's a go-route receiver. That's what he's known for. And, you know, if you see the tape, he's just running downfield. A lot of times he's running wide open. He's somebody that you can utilize in the screen. Mm-hmm. And McLaurin, you know, we talk about him, but one thing is he crashes the house on screens. If you look back at the OSU tape, mm-hmm. Campbell, who's with the Colts now, made a career out of it. But if you look at the tape, 90% of the time he was breaking free, it was McLaurin opening it up for him.
Agreed.
So that's what I'd like to see. The league has got a little tape on McLaurin, so there's going to be extra attention to him. This could be a game that we see Richardson have, you know, him and Sims Jr. actually have a good game. But again, they got to utilize the speed in the short game.
So how important is this game for Haskins in terms of, well, not this game too, how important are these sets of games for Haskins knowing that what could happen next season?
Personally, I think, you know, all the talk on social media about getting a quarterback, we know that's not going to happen for the main reason that the Redskins have never given up on a quarterback that quick, and nor should they. So I think the pressure is on, it's more about him gaining a leadership role. I think, of course, he has to build off of it and show him what he can do. But I think we're going to see a more confident Haskins. So I think this game is really important in front of the home crowd. But as far as long term, I think it's more about establishing a leadership role. Because even in Ohio State, McLaurin was the unquestioned leader on offense, not him. Mm. So the fact that we drafted him and having those together, I think they're going to play off each other. And I think we're going to see some good things from, you know, will that equal a victory? I'm not sure. But I'm more concerned right now. I never, you know, want losses. If people are saying, you know, they want them to keep losing, have a better draft pick. That's not what kind of fan I am, you know. Mm. Right now, I want to see wins. But as important as wins, I want to see Dwayne Haskins come out there, take a leadership role, and take some chances. And if that means him, you know, like he did, how he took off and ran out of the pocket, taking a shot downfield, he's got to trust his arm and he's got to trust his teammates a little more. But it's going to start with the coach's trust in him.
Hey, Adam, man, appreciate you for being on. Before I let you go, let our listeners know about the Burgundy and Gold Report and how they can catch you on social media,
man.
Too.
Always a pleasure, man. You can check my articles out on the B. Excuse me. You can check all my articles out on burgundyandgoldreport.wordpress.com, and you can find me on Twitter at the B and G Report. HTTR, man. Thanks again, man.
I appreciate you, Adam. Thanks for being on, my man.
Have a good one, man.
Have a good one. All right, that was Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report. My man Will T is in the building, but we're going to talk to Washington Wizards. I want to say hi to the people, Will T, before I...
What's going on, man?
Oh, hold on. Now you're on. Go ahead, bro.
What's going on?
Everything's gravy, bro. Everything's gravy. All right, we're going to talk about the growth of the Wizards center, Thomas Bryant, with Bullets Forever's Kevin Broome after break. You listen to Urban Sports Saying.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I transform like this, perform like this. What shouts you a new weapon? I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit 'cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my
my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine, and it's like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Like Vince who probably offend you, this is Paula's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, furnace, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead, redemption, scholars, fathers, dead.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself, Wole. Ray Jeezy's out. What's good, Will T?
Still going with the Wole.
Wole, that's what it is, man. That's the name, man. It's the real name. That ain't that. It's the real name.
On your birth certificate.
Yeah. Woleola is. Not Wally. Wally's never been on my birth certificate, dude.
So why have you always written?
Blame teachers, man. Blame
so
the teachers.
You're embracing your...
Yeah, I'm embracing it. Wally has never been any part of anything in terms of, like, only thing in the mail. Because, obviously, you know, I use Wally a lot. But it's the only thing. Truth be told, Woleola, and that's it.
Woleola?
Yeah, you know, that's the full gov. You know what I'm saying? Really, you know what I'm saying? It's Wole, you know what I mean?
Wole?
Yeah, like, you know, Wale, like, Wale is with an A. I'm Wole. You dig what I'm saying?
I get it. I mean, don't you think it's a little bit late in life to be...
Nah, it's too late. I got people that, like, my real 9-to-5, they calling me Wole now.
Okay.
And I'm just letting you know. Hey, right now, we have Blitz Forever Deputy Managing Editor Kevin Broom on the line. What's going on, Kevin? And welcome to the Urban Sports Scene.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I've met you through Troy during the happy hours when he had at the what's the name of that place?
Half Smoke.
Huh?
The Half Smoke.
There you go. Half Smoke. Yeah, Half Smoke. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And you are a pleasure to talk to. I love how you're like really stats oriented too. And analytical. I love it actually. So Kevin, I read your blog. First off, can you tell our listeners who may not know about Bullets Forever?
Oh, well, Bullets Forever is like, it's a website that's dedicated to all things Wizards and Mystics, too.
Mm-hmm.
So anything to do with essentially monumental basketball operations.
Mm-hmm.
And so we cover the Wizards and we cover Mystics, and we try to crank out a ton of information about an analysis about the Wizards and Mystics basically year round.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we try to do a lot. The founder and alum, I guess, of the site is Mike Prada,
mm-hmm.
who is a national writer now.
Yeah,
and he's first rate. So,
awesome.
We try to carry on his his legacy.
I love it. I love it. So, Kevin, you wrote an article called "Expanding Thomas Bryant's Game May Diminish His Short Term Production, But It Could Pay Off Big for the Wizards in the Future." I read it. Mm-hmm. I read the blog. So. And you're right, like, obviously, last season, it was a coming out party for Thomas Bryant. But before I don't want to, like, just talk about what you wrote. Can you tell me, basically, like, a little brief overview of what the blog, what the article was about?
So, yeah, what this was is I've been watching Bryant. And this year, the Wizards are asking/letting him do more
mm-hmm.
than what he had done. Last year, every now and then, you'd see him pull up and take a jump shot. From outside, that sort of thing. But his bread and butter, what they wanted him to do for the most part, what he stuck to because he's highly coachable, is that they wanted him to take shots around the rim and focus on rebounding and setting screens, in transition. And this year they're saying, go ahead and shoot that jump shot. Go ahead and take the, 18, 20 footer. Go ahead and take threes.
Yeah.
And he's been doing all of that. And so what's happening is his efficiency, which was freakishly high last season, is down this year, and his overall production is down because of that. And when I talk about production, I'm talking about the things that players do that help a team win games.
Of course, yeah.
And so efficiency is a huge part of that, and his is down this year. And that's basically because they're asking and letting him do more things out there on the court. So that's what the article is about. And then where I go with that is this year, might as well do that because they're not trying to win games.
That's true. That is true. He can play with it.
And
yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so if he gets comfortable, like if he gets to the point where he's shooting 50% from, you know, 18 feet or 20 feet, or he can shoot 33% from three-point range, then he's really added something that's a serious weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like, you know, if John Wall comes back and is, say, even like 85% of what he used to be, and you get a Thomas Bryant setting screens for him in screen roll situations, and then you don't know whether he's going to roll or he's going to fade, you know, to the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just another dimension that can be added. And if it doesn't work out and he can't get up there this season, then, you know, in terms of those kinds of percentages, then, you know, just say, okay, go back to playing, you know, like DeAndre Jordan, I guess, or, you know, where you just basically playing around the rim.
Yeah,
he's good
at that. Yeah, he's very efficient. Like you said, he was very efficient. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have Bullets for Average Deputy Managing Editor Kevin Broom on the line. So he's basically averaging 15 points a game, basically 10 mm-hmm. points, 10 rebounds a game. 3-point percentage, I believe, is roughly around 26%. Is it 26% from three?
Yep.
I'm not the biggest fan of him shooting threes because I watched him in Indiana. I think some people just have it. They shoot him. I mean, I'm all for the mid-range shot. I think he does have the ability to make to knock down a mid-range shot. But to your point, though, I will agree that, you know, this season is like a wash. It's almost like practice for an individual to, you know, I mean, not to be mean, but practice for a player to bring up their individual skills. I know Scott Brooks doesn't want to hear that or doesn't, you know, he's trying to win games out there. But at the end of the day, yeah, I agree that why not shoot threes right now?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's support what you're saying. I mean, no team that's starting Isaiah Thomas or Ish Smith at point guard is serious about winning games. So, you know, the long term, they would like to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so, you know, if Bryant can become a good perimeter shooter and then draw big men away from the basket, and that leaves things more open, creates more space for his teammates to, you know, to do things, That's a could be a big net positive for the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if he doesn't, then he's still useful as like a, you know, 25 minute a game big man,
yeah,
who can you know, score around the basket and rebound.
Yeah.
So
15-10 is still impressive. Any which way you want to cut it, regardless of what you're shooting, 15-10 is impressive, especially for a guy that if you looked at his, you know, in the background, he played for the Lakers and barely got to play. Got let go and came to the Wizards. Well, got traded to the Lakers. I mean, to the Wizards, and look at him now.
Yeah, I've got to say, when I saw, you know, like that was 2 summers ago, yeah, when I saw that he got released, I was really puzzled by that because, yeah, you know, before the draft, the previous season, I had him rated as having a like a late first round grade,
yeah, mm-hmm,
and I was, you know, he went in the second round, and you're like, okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lakers got him, and then they just cut him. You know, he's a minimum salary guy.
Yeah.
It just didn't make any sense. And then he gets here. I wonder, like, okay, is he just that bad? Is there an attitude problem or something like that? And then he comes here, and it's like every single person you want to talk to will tell you that he works crazy hard, mm, super enthusiastic. He's a great kid. All he wants to do is be good.
Yeah.
And he peppers his coaches with and teammates with questions about how he can get better. He sends texts all the time about, you know, how do I get better? How do I do this? And the Lakers cut that guy.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
It's funny because even in, if you watch him, I'm a Lakers fan. Won't even lie, I'm a Lakers fan. So I watched him in summer league. That he was good in summer league. I mean, you saw that he had ability. It's just like, you know, with Zubac for the Lakers, who now with the Clippers. Bryant was the same way. He showed ability. You knew he can play in the league. You know, you knew he could be a rotation, yeah, guy. Saying, I'll give you another guy the Wizards have, Mo Wagner. It, to me,
yeah,
is super talented. I'm actually, I think he's a steal, to be honest with you. He's super talented. Mo Wagner is, yes, you can make that look all you want to at me, Will. Mo Wagner is super talented. Pick and pop, a consistent knockdown three-point shooter. Not even an average, above-average three-point shooter. That's a big. Mo Wagner to me is a steal.
Yeah, I agree with that in a lot of ways. I think, especially since they got him for basically nothing.
Yeah.
And so, but the thing with Mo is I think he could be a solid, serious, like rotation backup, yeah, big man, mm, or, you know, playing like 20 minutes a game between 4 and 5, that sort of thing. But he's got to get under control his turnovers and his fouls.
Yeah.
Those he's a little wild out there.
Yeah, he needs to get stronger. I mean, I do. He needs to get stronger.
Yeah.
I think that plays a part. I think he tends to get a little get bullied. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Defensively,
well, not bullied, but he gets pushed around.
Pushed around. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want. Yeah, you know what I mean.
He's chippy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's for him. It's like once he gets stronger, I think that'll bring more confidence in terms of his defense. Offensively, he's skilled. Like he's skilled. He's a good passer.
Yeah,
good shooter. You know, if you watch him in Michigan, if you watch them even in preseason and with the Lakers, summer league, even a short time he got burned with the Lakers, you can see talent. So I thought the Wizards did a good job getting him out of L.A. Kevin, what do you think Bryant's ceiling is then?
His ceiling is the roof. No.
How come I knew you were going to say that?
I'm sorry. I had to go there. I think his ceiling is really high. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the players who – there aren't that many guys as young as he is who are as productive as he was last season.
Mm-hmm.
And, his comps and when I have gone through and done some research, they aren't, necessarily Hall of Fame players, but mm-hmm. they're really good sort of all-star level centers. And, the center position is actually pretty competitive in the NBA. There's a lot of good guys there.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's going to have to compete with, Joel Embiid for throughout his career. And, Embiid's pretty good.
Yeah.
So,
that's tough.
But I think he could be, the kind of guy who's just a really quality player for a good team for a bunch of years. He's got to get better to Bryant defensively.
Mm-hmm.
But he's showing signs of that already. I mentioned that in the article that, the on-off numbers are awful so far. But one, it's early in the season. And two, he's been playing a lot with Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that in the article.
But I think he's got a really bright future. Wizards got him on a nice deal for the next 3 years. So, and then after that, he's got a chance. He'll be, 25
mm-hmm.
at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll have a chance to really cash in if he develops the way I think he will.
Definitely. Hey, Kevin, thanks.
He still has room for probably two more max contracts.
Two more, yeah. I mean, today's NBA, he'll definitely get the $100 million the way today's NBA is going. So, Kevin, thanks for being on. Before I let you go, can you let our listeners know how they can catch your content on Bullets Forever and also how they can hit you up on social media?
Sure. So, they can just go to bulletsforever.com, and that's where, my stuff, my Wizards-related stuff goes up. And then you can also give me a follow on Twitter at @Broom_Kevin. That's at @BROOM_Kevin. And give me a follow, and I'll probably follow you back.
Kevin, thanks for being on. I appreciate you, my man.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Anytime.
Right.
That is Kevin Broom from Bullets Forever. Make sure you check him out. Follow him on Twitter at @Broom_Kevin. So make sure you follow Kevin. Kevin's a cool guy. Met him again at Have Smoke. Thanks to my man Troy Holliburton. Troy always looking out and setting things up. But I want to talk some college basketball, and we'll do that, after the break. Georgetown, Maryland, Terps. Maryland's ranked 7th in the country. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
It's me.
listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself, Ole, Ray Jeezy's out. The Maryland Terps are ranked 7th in the country. They are 2-0. What are your early impressions of the Maryland Terps, Will T?
I have no impressions because I have not watched them play a game. I haven't watched hardly any.
Are you serious? No college basketball? No, you haven't seen Cole Anthony from Carolina?
Excuse me. I watched Cole Anthony last week for Carolina because I really wanted to see if he could live up to a lot of the hype, and he definitely did.
Oh, man, he looked good, man.
I was going to check out, what's his name, Wiseman? Memphis.
Yeah, to
I believe he's back playing.
He's playing. I mean,
I'll eventually catch him. No, college basketball, I haven't watched a lot of college basketball this year. I was excited to see Maryland number 7. I'm hoping that the Georgetown Warriors will get, you know, Patrick Ewing to start to get the, you know, they're at a place where the, you know, that.
He got his recruits. He has everybody he needs. I mean, supposedly.
Yeah, so, and plus he plays in the Big East.
Yeah, which is a weaker conference right now.
Let's be honest, the Big East ain't the same Big East that we're used to.
At least UConn back.
Yeah.
Maryland's pretty good. I mean, I 7th in the country. You know, Jalen. They beat Holy Cross 95-71. They also beat Rhode Island 73-55. So they're dominating their competition. Rhode Island game was pretty close in the first half. But you know, it's all about the kid Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith. Out of the Baltimore area. Last season, you know, a lot of folks thought he could have been the one and done. He decided to come back in the first two. Within the first two games, he's averaging about 17.5, probably 18 points. That's round at all. And 11 boards per game. He's a guy to me that can help this team go and take this team to the next level. To being a contender to win it all. To be honest with you, you saw. Last season in the postseason, in March Madness, the kid, you know, brought his A game up. So they're going to really be dependent on him. We'll see how, like Will T mentioned, we'll see. We'll see how Maryland turns out. They're in the Big Ten, which is a hard conference. You got Michigan State. You got Michigan with Juwan Howard now, the head coach in Michigan. But you may have a little fall off because B-Line was a great coach. I mean, let's be real. And B-Line's doing a good job at Cleveland, to be honest with you.
He did a phenomenal job at Michigan.
Yeah. So
In Cleveland, where he's at now.
He's doing a good job in Cleveland.
He's doing a good job now.
Yeah. So, but that can hurt them. But at the same time, Maryland, giving Turgeon credit when credit, you know, give Turgeon credit, you know, this Maryland team has been in the tournament. They've been competitive for the last, you know, some odd years under Turgeon. So, I think, you know, Maryland being 7th, they had a good class coming in anyway. They should be very competitive. They should be a team that should easily make the Sweet 16. And I mentioned, like I said before, they should be battling for an opportunity to get to the Final Four and win it all. Let's go to the Hoyas. That's a different situation. I watched the Hoyas games, and it's almost the same thing under Pat has been the last couple of seasons. He's had, you know, obviously Pat schedules a cupcake couple of games. I have no issue with that. I actually don't.
It's not Pat. It's Georgetown basketball
has historically did that. Yes. But this is my issue with these cupcake games. They are too competitive. And that's been a sign of under Pat, when these little cupcake games have been competitive, you see what happens when they play the other teams. And it is a reflection of how they tend to look against better competition. You dig what I'm saying? So when you see that, you're like, okay, maybe this Hoyas team isn't going to be good under Pat. Because, again, it's time. Pat's got his guys. You can't say, like, you know, he's got it, you know, someone else's guys. He has his guys. And it's his program. This is year 3. This is a year that Pat has to get this team into the tournament.
In the ideal situation, yes, he gets Georgetown.
I'm saying the tournament.
No. In the ideal situation, he gets this team to the round of 68.
Yeah.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
But does he really have his guys? Right. It's one thing to say that he has his guys. These are guys he's recruited.
Yeah.
But are these past three classes, are these classes that where it's like Patrick Ewing's really got the guys that he's gone out hard in the trenches and have recruited, and these are the guys he's really wanted?
Right. You mean guys turning him down? You mean even those? Oh yeah, I'm not sure if he's getting those guys because I mean, yeah, but sure. Still, I mean that's the game of coaching. I mean recruiting game though, right? You're not going to get everybody you want because you have programs that. You mean the programs that just are doing more to get these individuals, right?
By that, you mean they're dropping the bag.
You already know. Come on, man. But at the same time, I mean, I can only go off comparing to what we saw with JT3 and Pat. Like, it's your opportunity. I mean, you've gotten McGlewin. That's your guy. Akinjo. Those are your guys. Akinjo has been good. McGlewin, you was hoping that he would be, you know, better than what he's not bad. I'm not calling him bad, but you would hope in year two he's, you know, took it to the next level. Crazy athleticism. He was a guy that like could shoot the rock in high school and in college. His shooting has been so-so. But Akinjo has been the dude. He's been the dude. You got the kid out the transfer out of NC State, the big who's taking Govan's spot in Yuri 7. So you have another big. So you got your guys here. You got guys that you can ball with, that you can do some things with. Now it's up to Pat to kind of put it together. I'm not saying this team should win the Big East or, you know, go to the Sweet 16 or whatever. I'm just saying it's time for this team to get to the tournament. That's all I'm saying. And I was pro Pat. Like I was clamoring for Pat to come to Georgetown, but you got to call a spade. You can't be struggling against Central Arkansas. Like that's not no. You can't be struggling against teams like that. Like you're a team that's supposed right now. You're supposed to be blowing some of these teams out. Like I'm not saying you're blowing out Seton Hall or blowing out Rutgers or whatever. Which you should blow out Rutgers, but I'm not even saying that. But when you're playing like a Central Arkansas. A team like that, you should beat them like I beat Tina. Sorry, I apologize. You know what I mean by that.
I understand what you mean.
Sorry. I apologize. I didn't mean it that way. But y'all know what I mean. So I'm just saying, like, I'm just saying the Warriors need to get on it. Like, Pat needs to get on it. I know you're a Knicks fan, so I know Pat's very special to you. He should be. Pat's special to me too.
I'm a Hoyas fan, and my allegiance to the Knicks is wavering very quickly. But I'll say this: when I long for the days when Maryland and Georgetown are national powers, because the D.C. area is very rich with basketball talent.
It is. It is. It's true.
When or if you get those two programs back to the point where they are both nationally ranked, two of the top 25 or top 30 programs in America, it just makes things very interesting around here.
Yeah, man, Georgia tweeted. My man George listening now said Kentucky is down to Evansville with under 7 minutes to go. Wow. Coach Kyle. And George also posted on Facebook about the Hoyas. He said they've given the last two coaches with deep ties to Georgetown fairly long leashes. They should do it for Patrick Ewing as well. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Pat's gonna lose his job after this.
No,
season.
I don't think Patrick.
I wasn't saying that. I wasn't really mean. I was insinuating that. I was just saying that, you know, it's about that time, though. You know what I mean? To actually show that this team is ready to take it to the next level. You know what I mean? I was clamoring for them to fire JT3 over Pat. It's about the same right now. You know what I mean?
I mean, well, the best thing Pat can do is get this program, get his program to a level of To get the recruits clamoring to come back to there used to be a time where the local recruits wanted to go to Georgetown, right?
Agreed,
Georgetown
yeah.
is a great institution, high learning institution. Mm-hmm. Now, if Pat can get that program turned around, he will have access to just about any young man in the DMV who is a prominent basketball player, basketball player.
That's true. All right, time for NBA talk. Should the Knicks get rid of Fizdale? We'll discuss this after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy's out. The Knicks are 2-8. Within the last two seasons, head coach David Fizdale is 19-73 as coach of the Knicks. And as a head coach in general with the Memphis Grizzlies and the New York Knicks, he's 69-124. Should the Knicks make a coaching change?
No, I don't think the Knicks should make a coaching change, but I think they need to make a philosophical change as an organization in whole. And here's why. When you didn't get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, you know, I'm pretty sure people have said this before. When you failed to get Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, or trade for any other top line superstar, right? What essentially what you did is you put yourself in a position with all the rest of your future first round draft picks to build a team through the draft. Right? So you already have Dennis Smith Jr. You already have Kevin Knox.
You don't even play.
Right. What? And then you have Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah. Your guys, yeah.
And then you still have your former first round pick, Frank Nitta.
Menekina.
Yeah, whatever.
Menekina. And then you got Menekita. And you got the guy you just drafted, R.J. Barrett.
R.J. Barrett, right? So prior to going out and making all those veteran signings and free agency, you had an opportunity to say, hey, we're going to build this thing the right way.
Yeah.
We have two of Dallas's first round picks from the Kristaps Porzingis trade.
Yeah.
We have our own picks finally. We're going to build this thing the right way. But what you did was you went out and you signed a lot of veterans.
Morris,
Randall, mismatch veteran guys who were taking time from your young nucleus,
Agreed.
Out of all the signings, the only one that I thought was okay was
Julius
Randle,
yeah,
and possibly Wayne Ellington because you need some shooting.
Does he even play though?
But he doesn't really play that
much.
Now you're in a position where
Markieff Morris.
Bobby Portis, Marcus Morris, Taj Gibson, guys like that are getting ample playing time and taking away time from your
And Payton too.
And Eldridge Payton. I wasn't too mad about the Eldridge Payton.
I'm mad because what's going on? Because it's all ruining Dennis Smith Jr.
True.
But go ahead.
Eldridge Payton and Julius Randle, those two signs, I'm not too mad at because they're still relatively young players that you can help develop it with the rest of your young nucleus. But you have a mismatched roster of guys who essentially overlap in the same positions.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Then you also have Fizdale, who's not giving the right, who's not developing that young talent that you have. And then when you come in, if you're the management, Scott Perry and Steve Mills, do you essentially have a news conference that says we aren't living up to our expectations? We thought we would be better. How the hell did you think you would be better with that group, with that roster?
Your roster, yeah.
Right? The best thing you should have done, the best thing you could do now going forward is say, okay, we made a mistake. Right? We signed a bunch of these veteran players. We know this isn't going to work out.
Yeah.
While Morris is putting up the numbers he's putting up, you ship him for a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Wayne Ellington, a guy who can shoot and was a starter for Detroit during their playoff run, you ship him off too.
Yeah, you got to showcase him to ship to get something for him.
Bobby Portis, you ship him off too.
Yeah, you can ship. You can play and ship him off.
You still try to get this thing. You say, and you're just honest. You're saying, hey. Pretty much like Golden State has said, this is a season for us to develop our young players and restock the shelves.
Yeah. My issue with the Knicks is, like I talk about Fizdale, I'll be blunt, I think he should be fired. My thing about Fizdale is that he's been living off his image, but never been a guy that to me has been like a real X's and O's type of dude. We're watching the game right now. This is a prime example. This is a good example of what I'm talking about coaching. Look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? They drafted, they got Sexton last season.
Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Darius Garland, and the dude from
Kevin Porter Jr.
All of them play, Will T. Will, all of them play.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, oh, they not playing good, we're going to sit them and let them. All of them are playing. All these young dudes, they got a plan. All of them. They get an opportunity to grow. You see the product. They're improving every game. This is the same team that blew out the Knicks team. You tell me that this team, this Cleveland team that blew out the Knicks, that was at the Garden, right? The same team. Yes. That started all this drama. Is more talented than the Knicks for real?
No, absolutely not.
You know what I mean? Like, Dennis Smith Jr. doesn't even play anymore.
Well, Dennis Smith Jr. isn't playing for personal reasons.
Yeah, but I'm saying, yeah, that too. But when he was on the court, wasn't playing anymore. Like, I'm saying, like, he wasn't even starting. He got demoted.
Well, like I said, it all comes down to, as an organization, mm-hmm. you all have to be aligned on what you're doing.
Yeah, agreed.
Like I told you before free agency started, you know, I was a Knicks fan. I was very hopeful maybe we get Zion Williams.
Yeah.
Then maybe you get Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
And you could shift the paradigm of this organization. Mm-hmm. But you didn't get those players. So what are you doing now to put yourself in a position 2 or 3 years down the line
mm-hmm.
when a Greek Freak, when he's a free agent?
Yeah.
Right? Are you developing those young players around him? Around that's on the roster now
mm-hmm.
in hopes of potentially signing a free agent or drafting your next superstar.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just an organization that lacks any cohesion, any direction. Let's look at the Atlanta Hawks, for instance.
Yeah, seriously.
A great example, a team with a lot of young talent. Yeah. What do? They play those young players. They help over the next year or two. That team's probably going to contend for a top 3 or 4
playoff spot
in the East.
Look at the Memphis Grizzlies. Look what they're doing with their young talent.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Teams are doing it. Like, the whole thing about trying – I get, like, having one or two vets, but come on, man. You got to, like, let those young dudes grow. On Twitter, my man Taj tweeted, at this point, I don't think he's a good head coach. He's a press clips coach, says things that sounds good but no substance.
Well, like you
said, in terms of Fizdale, go ahead.
He's living off of that whole Miami Heat.
He got that swag in
it. The ties.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the ties to the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if he has good associations around the league.
Yeah.
As far as relationships around the league.
I think so.
But clearly the product on the court, it's not transferring to wins on the court.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not transferring to a solid strategy for your organization moving forward.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, that type of – you would think – my thing about Fizdale, you would think the way some people talk – some people talk about him, right? Even when he's working on NBA TV, right? And people were saying, well, folks should hire Fizdale. And you look at his resume as a coach and you're like, why is he getting so much love? Like, you look at his resume and look at his win-loss record and you're like,
I'm not taking anything away from him as a tactician.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is it's not translating.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm with you. I'm not saying anything like, you have guys who speak, who are good in terms of coaching scheme up or whatnot. I'm not even going to talk about, I'm just talking about wins and losses. That's all I'm saying. Like, wins and losses. Whatever you're saying to your players, is it resonating with them when they get on the court? Right? We can say it. That we can agree on that, right?
Yeah,
you
know
what I mean?
It's not. And then to me, if you're the Knicks, you have Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, you're right.
Who is a gem.
Yes.
A second rounder, 7 foot plus,
mm-hmm.
can run the floor, block shots,
rim run,
alter shots, rebound.
Mm-hmm.
Why you aren't putting him in a position to be at least a 15-10 guy, a 15-12 guy?
You got Clint Capella, dog, who's doing the same thing, and this dude, the dude you're referencing, is way more athletic.
Way more athletic.
Way more athletic and can do a lot in terms of, you know, lob dunks and everything. So I'm just saying, I agree with you. You got talent, and I want to hear that they have talent. You know what I mean? RJ Barrett, when coming out of high school, was rated the best high school player. The best high school player. Not Zion. He was rated the best high school player. I'm just saying, like, you know, It is what it is. I just think that, you know, for the Knicks to get this thing turned around, they're going to have to get a guy. If it's, you know, if Fizdo doesn't change up, they're going to have to get a guy that can relate to young guys. Because I don't think he relates to young dudes. And I think, for me, I think Fizdale can tend to get on his own little thing. He did that in Memphis when he benched, when he decided to bench Z-Bo. And then he benched Marcus Gasol. So he can, he's a guy that feels like, to me, he can do some things that you scratch your head with. Put it that way.
I mean, the whole Knicks organization is just perplexing to me.
All right, man. It's time to make our Week 11 NFL picks. We'll do it after the break. You listen to Urban Sports Scene.
For ages. You dig? Deuces.
I done did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Up the system, I'm that bend the law, cut the rules. I'm about to risk it all. I ain't got too much to lose. Y'all been eating long enough. It's my turn to cut the food. Pass the plate with my drink. This my day. Lucky you, hope you do. Woo! Y'all gotta move. Y'all gotta move. Move. Give me some room, give me some room, give me the juice. How about the coupe? How about the coupe? How about a shoot? Y'all gotta move, y'all gotta move. Give me the juice. Back on my bullets, my back to the wall, turn my back on you all and you finish. Back to these bullets, it's back to the top, put my mask out and all of you running. Back on my hood, it's back to the pushing, he taxing, I'm actually pumping. Can't fuck with you rappers, you practically fucking. You might have went platinum, but that don't mean nothing. I'm actually buzzing this time. Straight out the kitchen, I told him the oven is mine.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T. Myself, Wole, Ray Gigi's out. My man George tweeted us and said that Fizdale's made the scapegoat. So I think, you agree? The scapegoat?
I mean, publicly, look, the way the actions of the president and general manager made it seem as if David Fizdale is being set up to be the potential scapegoat, right? Mm. When you say things such as we haven't performed to the level that we thought it was, we thought that this team would be better with the roster that we assembled. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the hell you thought that, you know, when you got a lot of mismatched pieces, mm-hmm. and you're not playing your young players and helping develop them and groom them.
Yeah.
At least if you played those guys, you could I'm not going to say an excuse, but you're saying we're looking towards the future.
Yeah,
the fan base can identify with that. The national media can identify with that, saying, hey, this team is a team that's looking to build towards the future.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. My man on Twitter at Sportsman's Cave stated in terms of Patrick Ewing, I said, the year that this team needs to get determined, my man said, yep, pretty much. He needs to. All right. So make sure you check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a weekly battle of NFL pick'em games with them. Here's what we did in week 10. Ray and I went 8-5 and Will T went 7-6. Here are our overall records. Ray is in first. He's 87-60. I am in second, 84-63. Will T is third, 82-65.
I'm third in this, but I'm number one.
I was waiting for you to say something. All right, here are the records from the Football Garbage Time Mob. Scott is 93-54. Hakun Wong is 90-57. Joanne is 81-66. Ryan is 80-67. The homie George is 90-57. All right, NFL picks week 11. Steelers, Browns.
Well, Steelers.
I'm going to go to Steelers.
What the coach is doing in Pittsburgh.
Amazing. I give credit where credit's due. At first, I was like, I thought like he was a little bit overrated, but I think what he's doing this season, amazing. This is coaching. This is coaching at its finest.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin is doing amazing.
You know what happened, man? He heard that Daniel Snyder won, and he was like, "Nah, after nah, I'm winning now."
I mean, look, he's never had a losing season. He's been coaching.
This is true. This is true, man. He's balling. I get credit when credit's due. Definitely showing the world that he's about that life. Cowboys, Lions.
Cowboys.
Going to Lions. Jaguars, Colts.
I'm going to go with Jaguars.
I'm going with Jaguars, too. Bills, Dolphins.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
I'm going with the Bills. Broncos, Vikings.
Vikings.
I'm going with Vikings, too. Saints, Buccaneers.
Saints.
I'm going to Bucks. Jets, Jetskins.
Come on now.
You got the Jets?
Give me the Jets.
I got the Skins. Dwayne gets his first W. Falcons, Panthers at Carolina.
Falcons.
I'm going to Falcons, too. I like what I saw. Texans, Ravens.
Ravens.
I'm going to Texans. Cardinals, Niners.
49ers.
We got Niners, too. Bengals, Raiders.
Give me the Raiders.
I got the Raiders. Patriots, Eagles.
Patriots.
Patriots, too. Bears, Rams.
I'm going with the Rams.
I got the Rams as well. Chiefs, Chargers.
I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Dang, I got the Chargers too. Dang, Will. All right, dark skin folks stick together. Yeah. All right, let's go with Ray's picks. Ray sent us the picks. I looked through after my meme. All right, Ray picked the Steelers, the Cowboys, the Jaguars, the Bills, the Vikings, the Saints, the Jets, the Panthers, the Ravens, the Niners, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Rams, and the Chiefs. Did I say the Rams twice? No, I didn't. The Rams, Chiefs.
UK was stunned by Evansville.
That's true. So they did. They lost?
Yep.
What?
67-64.
Oh, wow. See, anything can happen. Georgetown, never. I may take back my statement earlier. All right, man. Thanks for y'all for listening to the Urban Sports. And you know we appreciate y'all. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega. Lead us out big, homie.